CD 3.
Lady Sybil Ramkin looked at the sad strip of leather that was all that remained of the late Chubby. "Who'd do something like this to a poor little dragon?" she said.
"We're trying to find out," said Vimes. We think maybe he was tied up next to a wall and exploded."
Carrot leaned over the wall of a pen.
"Coochie, coochie, coo," he said.
A friendly flame took his eyebrows off.
"I mean, he was as tame as anything," said Lady Ramkin. "Wouldn't hurt a fly, poor little thing."
"How could someone make a dragon blow up?" said Vimes. "Could you do it by giving it a kick?"
"Oh, yes," said Sybil. "You'd lose your leg, mind you."
"Then it wasn't that. Any other way? So you wouldn't get hurt?"
"Not really. It'd be easier to make it blow itself up. Really, Sam, I don't like talking about it."
"I have to know."
"Well, at this time of year, the males fight. Make themselves look big, you know. That's why I always keep them apart."
Vimes shook his head.
"There was only one dragon," he said.
Behind them, Carrot leaned over the next pen, where a pear-shaped male dragon opened one eye and glared at him.
"Who's a good boy, then?" murmured Carrot. "I'm sure I've got a bit of coal somewhere."
The dragon opened the other eye, blinked, and then was fully awake and rearing up. Its ears flattened, its nostrils flared, its wings unfurled. It breathed in. From its stomach came the gurgle of rushing acids as sluices and valves were opened. Its feet left the floor, its chest expanded. Vimes hit Carrot at waist height, bearing him to the ground. In its pen, the dragon blinked. The enemy had mysteriously gone, scared off. It subsided, blowing off a huge flame. Vimes unclasped his hands from his head and rolled over.
"What'd you do that for, Captain?" said Carrot. "I wasn't..."
"It was attacking a dragon," shouted Vimes. "One that wouldn't back down."
He pulled himself to his knees and tapped Carrot's breastplate.
"You polished that up real bright," he said. "You can see yourself in it. So can anything else."
"Oh, yes, of course there's that," said Lady Sybil. "Everyone knows you should keep dragons away from mirrors."
"Mirrors," said Carrot. "Hey, there were bits of..."
"Yes, he showed Chubby a mirror," said Vimes.
"The poor little thing must have been trying to make himself bigger than himself," said Carrot.
"We're dealing here," said Vimes, "with a twisted mind."
"Oh, no. You think so?"
"Yes.
But..."
"No, you can't be right, because Nobby was with us all the time." "Not Nobby," said Vimes testily. "Whatever he might do to a dragon, I doubt if he'd make it explode. There's stranger people in this world than Corporal Nobbs, my lad."
Carrot's expression slid into a rictus of intrigued horror.
"Gosh," he said.
Sergeant Colon surveyed the butts. Then he removed his helmet and wiped his forehead.
"I think perhaps Lance Constable Angua shouldn't have another go with a longbow until we've worked out how to stop her getting in the way."
"Sorry, Sergeant."
They turned to Detritus, who was standing sheepishly behind a heap of broken longbows. Crossbows were out of the question. They sat in his massive hands like a hairpin. In theory, the longbow would be a deadly weapon in his hands just as soon as he mastered the art of when to let go. Detritus shrugged.
"Sorry, mister," he said. "Bows aren't trawl weapon."
"Ha," said Colon. "And as for you, Lance Constable Cuddy, just can't get the hang of aiming, Sergeant."
"I thought dwarves were famous for their skills in battle."
"Yeah, but not these skills," said Cuddy.
"Ambush," murmured Detritus.
Since he was a troll, the murmur bounced off distant buildings. Cuddy's beard bristled.
"You devious troll, I get my..."
"Well, now," said Sergeant Colon quickly, "I think we'll stop training. You'll have to sort of pick it up as you go along, all right?"
He sighed. He was not a cruel man, but he'd been either a soldier or a guard all his life, and he was feeling put upon. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said what he said next.
"I don't know, I really don't. Fighting among yourselves, smashing your own weapons. I mean, who do we think we're fooling? Now, it's nearly noon. You take a few hours off and we'll see you again tonight, if you think it's worth turning up."
There was a spang noise. Cuddy's crossbow had gone off in his hand. The bolt whiffled past Corporal Nobbs's ear and landed in the river where it stuck.